Hello. How are you?
Not well. How are you?
I'm alright.
I'm not going to pass it on to you.
You're not?
No.
Are you sure of that?
I'm going to leave you to it. Pete, it's Fred. I'll leave. I'm going to stay with you because I don't want you to get
it. Okay, then.
Collapse in the heap, too.
Go and sit down.
I'm moderately well. Let me come quite clean and tell you that at the very moment I hope you're being recorded. Actually, the lady dropped in on me yesterday, so I...
Well, I suppose it's...
Sounds quite an interesting...
idea.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm not convinced. We can establish exactly what we're after.
Well,
use.
Yeah, it seems to me that they are, it's going to be a comparative thing from 1992 and then in, we'll say 1997 for argument's sake. Or gradually on.
Increasingly, I think nowadays people converge in not a foreign language because the terms. Computer people are the worst because they use ordinary words which mean completely different things
to
in
them.
The context of talking.
Yeah, yeah.
And there they talk about a database which is a, it's not an English word.
No, computer.
So what on earth does it mean?
Mm.
Well, I used the word to in a report I was writing 10 years ago. And I knew what I meant, but I hadn't written down and defined what I meant. Perhaps I should have done.
Mm.
Since then, a... program has been written called Database One, which means something completely different. It has been updated to Database 2 and 3 and maybe 4, which mean different things. That's why they got different numbers. They do more clever things. And nowadays you hear people talking about databases, and they all mean different things. They usually a file of information which is processed by different completely different computer systems. One, as it were, to pick out addresses, one to pick out socioeconomic groups, one to pick out motor cars, one to pick out number of bedrooms, one to pick out whatever. And trivially or superficially, everyone says the same thing on the database. It's on the database.
Yeah.
Now, the file is there, that's a computer term, for exactly that, a listing of names, addresses, and houses, and cars, and everything else. And the file is a defined computer term. What you do with it is the next thing. And the way in which you do what you do depends on what you put in. If you only put people in who are owner-occupiers, then you will not have all the information for all the people who are in rental companies.
Yeah, yeah.
If you only put in people who live in houses, you will not have all the people who live in maisonettes and flats and everything else.
Yeah.
If you are not eligible to be put in if you don't have a motor car, then you're discounting an enormous number of people who may have motorcycles or motor caravans or, you know, something which is perfectly valid, but it invalidates the information that you think you are getting out of the file, because you only put in certain perfectly reasonable groups of things. And in Boots, there's a wonderful expression for output, actually, is the one I'm particularly thinking about. You know, we sell, shall we say, 1 million bottles of aspirin a year. In fact, considerably more than that. And that is perfectly reasonable and valid. And but in the definition of that, we obviously only included what Boots the chemists sold, because that's all the people who sold.
Yeah.
Aspirin,
yeah.
Made by Boots. But now, of course, there's Crookes, and that means not bottles of aspirin, bad examples, but Strepsils, for lozenges, for example, are now sold in an enormous range of private pharmacies, which are not Boots, and they are therefore completely outside the term output. It may be a restrictive term, it may not be the one we want, but that is what it was meant, and that is what the numbers generated from. Now, of course, we've sold the chain of chemists in Canada who might have sold bottles of aspirin. But before we sold the chain, there was another enormous quantity of bottles of aspirin which wasn't defined. It was something which was introduced after, long after we defined what we meant by outputs of aspirin. And the rate of change of society, you know, the background to what we're doing, shifts the goalposts, is the fashionable term, but what you thought you meant, you no longer mean. And of course, if one's meticulously methodical, one adjusts the definition as the circumstances change.
Yes,
but
yeah.
You don't do that.
Yeah.
Not with a thing like outputs of aspirin. I mean, everyone in Boots knows what outputs of aspirin are. Just strange that they are, in fact, three times what we thought they were. And we, of course, that's Crookes. Of course, that's this. Of course, that's that. Tremendous discernment, tremendous understanding. But if you haven't got that tremendous understanding, just join the company, you think you know something, and you don't, because God puts top where you think they are.
Mm. Anyway, how are you?
I'm not too bad. I feel that it's been a slightly peculiar month, really. Sort of when we went to see Jan's mother for Christmas, I was saying to myself, this time last year, I was on holiday from work.
Yeah.
Now I am retired, and last year I was feeling a bit decrepit, and I used to go for a little walk around some creepy pipe, you know, after lunch, after, around where she lives.
How long is it since you knocked off work sick?
Well, I got flu in February last year.
February 91?
Yeah.
So,
I never went back.
Yeah. But you were presumably feeling not well before then. Yeah.
Well, you know the the scenario. And you say, oh, I'm tired.
Yes, that's
or
right.
Or I've had a bit of a day, or whatever it is. And I said to myself, I am making allowances for being tired. I'm getting on a bit, you know. And that went on for quite a while, actually, until I said to myself, I'm making up allowances, you know. There is something seriously queer. No, maybe it's a brain tumour, you know, maybe it's I'm going potty, maybe it's all sorts of things. And fortunately, I went to the vet, and 2 weeks before he retired. But, you know, he was full of experience, that's really what I'm saying, he wouldn't be retired. And he said to himself, there's something, you know, I don't know what it is necessarily, but there is something, go to a specialist, and the specialist was very, very good. You know, you want some I want some tests, you know, someone else has some tests, you know. And the crew that were doing the tests, they knew what they were looking for, and they either found it or they didn't. But in due course, when I was still off with the flu, back to the specialist in the bar, another test, that was March, April of last year. The result of it was that there is something in there which is characteristic of what we call multiple sclerosis, which seems to me is about as broad as it's long. You know, it's a very large.
Yes, it's one of those illnesses that the average person knows of it and knows just a little bit, but doesn't know very much.
Well, it seems to me that you go to the MS Society, and you find just about everybody there. You know, you find people who are in wheelchairs, you find people who are walking around, you find people who are controlling their diet, you find people who are taking extreme dietary precautions. They're taking extreme care of their diet. I mean, being on gluten-free diets, and you know what that means. You can't have anything which is in wheat or barley or anything related. And you find other people who are walking around relatively independent find people who are walking around slowly.
Mm.
And you find people like Lynn, you know, bless her, you know, who isn't too bad when she's not too bad, and isn't too good when she's not too good. You know. And it is such a very, very peculiar thing. Not only can you not put anything visibly in common with everyone that's got it, even the people that have got it can't say, I cannot do this, period. They say, well, I'm not too good at this now, but maybe last week or maybe next week.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all a bit peculiar. You now have to get in, because there was a sort of gradation from being off ill, which wasn't familiar, to being off long-term sick, which you can't have an experience of, to early retirement on health grounds, and you just can't have any experience of that either, to being retired, and it's quite interesting. Going from one to the other in a year.
Yeah, I thought it was longer than that, you know.
Well, the first and most horrific incidence was, I think, in the May. No, it wasn't May. It was when we went down to Katz in London, which was end '89, beginning of '90, and I went to the doctor in June of 1990, and odd things were sort of going through 1990, but it wasn't until 1991 that I was off ill and it all went.
Mm.
So it's all part of life's rich tapestry. And
yeah. And has Janet been able to go back to work yet? Obviously, she's not fit at the moment.
Yeah. She's been back.
She has, yeah.
And, she was back all the summer.
No, I meant fairly recently, since she was not well. Mm.
We had gone down to Bognor to the christening of our nephew, and she wasn't too, that was in November, it was sort of middle of November, and something was going wrong there, and so when I was retiring on the 27th of November, she couldn't come in, and
was that taboo? Yeah.
Month of December was sort of off and trying to do odd things, and then she went down with this flu, which was progressively worse since the New Year. You know what these girls are, sort of I personally, you know, as it were, the trained scientist, the certified chemist, like civilian teachers, you tend to take a slightly diagnostic view of things, that's not quite right, but you take a slightly objective view of things. And I've been thinking to myself, yes, rotten unfair on girls, because sometimes sort of between about 15 and 25, but now I suppose they're all growing up so much earlier, it's between 10 and 20, they have a pretty monumental change. And it's not a bundle of laughs, but they can talk to their friends, they can see their friends, they can talk to their mothers, they can get the vague way it's going to affect them, and they can, you know, sort of, let's say, 2025, settle into a routine which has variations during the 4 weeks, and they vary between individuals. I mean, it's well known.
Yeah, that's right.
That some don't really have great deal of problem. Others really do have a sort of off work for 2 or 3 days every month. And it's not a bundle of laughs, because, you know, that really must be difficult. But they get a rough idea of how it's for them.
Mm.
And it goes through their rest of their 20s, the rest of their 30s, the rest of their 40s, and then suddenly, bang, maybe something ghastly seems to be happening, which they are absolutely unaware of. No, they don't know why they are crying or unable to cope with whatever they can't cope with. And that's it. That's them off. And they start worrying about osteoporosis and, you know, enormous number of now medically defined problems with menopause. And they may going on to all sorts of things like hormone replacement therapy or evening primrose oil or whatever the hell. And they're sitting there at an age when they're fairly loaded up with experience and maturity and all the rest of it. And they know what they are doing. All the wisdom of in writing, doctors and everything else says, oh, it all varies, you know, some do this, some do that, some go straight through in a regal, dignified way, and they just carry on into relatively old age in a smooth, relaxed, nothing to worry about way.
Mm.
And well, Jan was went on to hormone replacement therapy because she was, and the doctor was a bit concerned about possible osteoporosis, which is a brittle bone.
Yeah.
It's obviously a thing which, if one can possibly avoid, it's a good idea to. And we don't know what is helping, because, you know, we don't know what her symptoms were going to be. Maybe HRT was helping, what her symptoms would have been if she hadn't taken them. Maybe they were worse because she was. Maybe they were the same in spite of it. But I don't know. Anyhow, the eventual thing was maybe her blood pressure was going up higher than it should. Maybe whether the cumulative stress of having a husband off in my state, maybe.
Yeah.
Christopher, you know, maybe.
Yeah, well, this is things, this is it. I mean, there are often a lot of things happening at the same time, some of which, as you've just sort of hinted at, are sort of have a psychological factor in them, which all add to it, don't they?
Well, my feeling is that, you know, if your car doesn't run, tinker with the carburetor. But if it still isn't running right, tinker with something else, if you like. The fatal thing is to tinker with both, because then you just don't know what you've got. And she's been on this hormone replacement, which is no big deal, but you know.
I have met ladies who have really benefited from it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Her blood pressure was being depressed by some other, you know, blood pressure regulator, and. One of the side effects of hormone replacement may be, you know, that people's susceptibility to migraine is heightened. So you've got at least three things which are all sort of brewing up there, and you think, grief, what a state to be in, because the poor doctor doesn't know what on earth to do, poor Jan doesn't know, it's worse for Jan, because she's sitting there thinking, I'm going potty, or, you know, can't stand properly, or, you know, is leaning over, or numb down one side of the face, or whatever it was. It was the dizziness, I think, actually, which was most alarming. And so, you think get flu on top of it all.
Quite.
It really is a very difficult term.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of flu about at the moment,
yeah,
isn't there?
He's more concerned than humans could possibly be, but if God isn't worried, what on earth are we burning our resources worrying about? Because if he's not worried, concerned, yes, but he's not worried.
Who are you talking about now? A God, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he is desperately concerned. I mean, he loves us all with a concern which just is greater than anything we can understand. So his concern, I didn't have the slightest doubt about. I can't understand how concerned he is, but I'm totally relaxed. But if the God of heaven is concerned, that's fine. He's not worried, because he created the whole thing. Therefore, he seems to me pretty good reason to be concerned.
So, but not worried.
Not
yeah,
certainly
I'm
not,
with you. Mm.
You know, lying awake at night, you know, because it's 3 or 4 in the morning, everything's quiet, you know, eating's off.
Yeah.
I think people who are liable to worry about their condition have a very, very difficult time at 3 or 4 in the morning. And old ladies are particularly vulnerable, I think.
Well, I had a period of waking up four are not going up again. Mind you, but I'd far sooner do that than not get off to sleep at night.
That's where everyone's different, of course, but I think it is a factor that one can watch television, or one can listen to the radio, or one can go for a walk, or one can do all sorts of things, as it were, before noon at midnight, 3 or 4 in the morning, you know, when everything is at a very low level.
Although it didn't I wasn't too concerned about it. I thought, well, you know, I'm resting, and I'm the sort of person who only needs about 6 hours. If I get 6 hours, I'm okay. You know, on a regular basis, I'm talking about. So I mean, it didn't really affect me too much.
A low time, isn't it? And it can be.
Here again, I think it's the old story of it affects different people different ways. Where some people are better at night. I'm now talking about before going to bed, than first thing in the morning. Whereas I think probably I am probably better as soon as I get up than last thing at night.
Yes, I think John would seem to have either an owl or some other bird which doesn't at night but does by day. Yeah, I think that the MS Society say that we've got 80,000 members in the United Kingdom, Great Britain, and North Ireland. Only problem is they appear to have 80,000 different conditions.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Every doctor will say,
people
differ.
Yeah.
And some of them differ so much from others who you put in the same box. Mm. You think, well, maybe we've got the box wrong.
Mm.
I think that's it. And,
you mentioned Christopher. The last time, I'm going back a little while, the last time I was talking with Jan, she was a bit unhappy. I think he was in a teaching practice at the time, and she was wondering how he was going to go on. That must be the best part of a year ago, I should think, though. No.
Well, the sort of background as I have seen it, he never struck me as being particularly clever, bright. It's just that he always seemed to be fairly well taught and academically successful. Exams never seemed to be an undue problem. And so he went off to Wolverhampton Poly, which he selected all the usual reasons, reasonable place, reasonable course, reasonable this, reasonable that, to do computer science, which of course all the kids want to do, perhaps 20th century netizens or 1980s version of wanting to be an engine driver, isn't it? They all want to be. So he went off to be a computer scientist. Either describes as cult television. interesting and very easy for enthusiasts to direct a lot of their time and energy. Maybe, I don't know, maybe there was a increased pressure to work and study, which was self-motivated rather than being externally imposed. Maybe. Maybe there was a fundamental lack of enthusiasm in him for what is described as the hardware of computing, the instruments, the machines. Maybe there was a less than comprehensive understanding of what is known as the firmware, as they say, the operating systems that are built into the thing to make it work. You've got to understand the firmware, because otherwise you don't understand what the machine will think you mean and will therefore do. I would have thought that whereas superficially you can ignore the firmware, it's all in there, it understands. As you, I would have thought, grew into a graduate computer science, you've got to have some idea about that. Maybe he was, I think, a little superficial in his enthusiasm for what is referred to as the software. That's to say, that's the computer program
yeah.
that you write, and feed into the thing which it operates along the rules defined by its firmware, which someone else has put into it. Anyhow, whatever it was, maybe Jan says he also had a bad flu bug at a bad time. Anyhow, crashed out of the computer science course. And he announced that he was only regarding the computer science course as being a stepping stone to being a teacher. So the sensible thing to do would be to go on to a deep training course, a Bachelor of Education course, because that's what he wanted to do. So that cost an awful lot of money, because he didn't grant it. And he spent about a year as a trainee teacher, and we thought that was great, because he was dealing with
wasn't he in juniors, yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember what the terms are. Infants.
There's infants and juniors.
No, it's a very young one.
Infants.
It's a very young one. And the vast majority of infant teachers are girls.
Yeah.
So we had a degree of uniqueness. And in the area that it was, vast numbers of minorities. So he was a white male. And I would have thought it was absolutely great. You know, I would have thought had a stimulating, challenging, lovely environment to be in. I hoped that he was going to. I really thought he was going to. Go on, it was just going to be very expensive. Paying his fees, this, that. I was therefore a little surprised, very disappointed, when he failed his teaching practice. I was a bit
Is he at home or is he down there?
Wants to stay with his friend.
Yeah, quite.
The state is picking up his rent, which is quite a lot. But even so,
it's a very bad time.
It is bad.
Yeah.
So he's now doing A-level psychology and GCSE sociology at night school whilst he is keeping his days free to try and get a job, which is not easy anywhere.
Right.
It is no easier in Greater Wolverhampton. And if you have eczema and a congenitally weak back, you aren't actually falling over yourself in prospects for the best chances. So, we're both very concerned, not worried, very concerned about what on earth he is doing and what he is going to do.
Yeah, fine.
Now he's 22, 23 years old. You know, whatever he's doing is liable to be with him for a few years yet. And what can one see? So after he's sat these two exams,
is he doing them this year?
He may be eligible to be on a training course or what? We don't know. But after you've been unemployed 6 months. Possibly, either after that, or simultaneously with that, or transfer that, he might go up to live in his father's house up in Yorkshire, Merthyr Royd. I don't know, but it seems to me that there is prospect.
Yeah, quite. It doesn't sound too good.
So, I thought to myself, well, I don't know. All these Newton girls have been off to Sri Lanka or Port Harcourt or Zaire or wherever. Patchett! You know, isn't that great? Don't really want to. He's not very keen on the prospect of going over the BSO or whatever. And then I say to myself,